Hello and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Mario Cajar, and today I'll be reading from the March 2024 issue of Sports Illustrated magazine and from the Sports Illustrated website, SI.com. First up, we have an article by Bob Harrig titled, "Scottie Scheffler Holds Out, Again, and Becomes the First Back-to-Back Players Champion." Ted Scott calls it his little caddy trick, one that he uses to keep the number one ranked player in the world engaged. Not that Scottie Scheffler really needs it, but such a tactic is fun nonetheless and makes for some good banter during rounds. The duo has a game in which they keep track of the number of times Scheffler holds out or chips in during the year, and once Scheffler gets to 10, his caddy bestows upon him a nice little gift, one that both seem to take great pride in accomplishing. The 92-yard, 56-degree sand wedge shot that Scheffler and Scott saw roll into the cup at the par 4 fourth hole was the sixth time this year. Remember, that bet is 10, that Scheffler has done it, and he made sure to point it out to Scott as they celebrated in the early portion of the final round of the Players' Championship this past Sunday. Never mind that the shot was the turning point of the tournament for Scheffler, one that helped propel him to a second straight victory on the PGA Tour, a defense of his tournament title, and the eighth win of his career, all in the past 26 months. Scheffler followed with a birdie at the fifth, added two more on the front nine, and finished with an 8-under par 64 to blow past Xander Schauffele, Wyndham Clark, and Brian Harman to win the $25 million tournament and its $4.5 million first prize at TPC Sawgrass. By the way, it's the first time in the 50-year history of the tournament that a player has won in consecutive years. "When he holed out on four, that's always special," said Scott. "And then you make a birdie on five. And then you run it by after hitting the green on nine and make it from 10 feet. Little weird things happen, and you start to think this could be our day, that this was a good day for us to play well enough to possibly win it. Anything could happen." And it did. Unlike last week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, where Scheffler was in the last group with Shane Lowry and built a big back nine lead before winning by five, he started the final round 5 strokes back. But his front side 31 changed the storyline, and then it was a matter of a tense back nine in which he waited to see if anyone could tie him. And all of this occurred despite a neck injury that was problematic enough this past Friday that Scheffler needed medical attention out on the course. "I didn't see him playing this weekend," said Scott. "He couldn't move. But still, he could hit the ball. Perhaps it wasn't to the ball-striking standard that Scheffler expects, but he still led the field in strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained tee to green, and strokes gained total. He was also 6th around the greens and 7th in approach. Throw in 37th in putting, which was still better than average, and Scheffler was holding the trophy." "He's such an athletic person," said Scott, the longtime caddy for Bubba Watson, including 2 Masters victories, who began working for Scheffler in the fall of 2021 before he went on a run that has now seen him win the Masters and 2 Players' Championships among his 8 wins. "He's so connected to the target with his hands," says Scott. "He can get away with it. He was hitting one more club, slapping it around, finding a way. That seems to be what great players do. Even winning Bay Hill, he didn't think he was swinging that well. But he's just a great ball striker, period. And you can't discount his putting. Scheffler missed a 5-footer on the 13th hole on Sunday that might have been costly, but it was the only time during the tournament he missed from inside that distance. And since switching to a mallet putter just before last week's tournament, there's been a new confidence level on the greens. Statistically, Scheffler had a top 4 career putting week at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It was more of a modest putting effort this time, but he needed just 25 putts during the final round. Work with putting coach Phil Kenyon has also helped. "I don't feel like a ton has changed," said Scheffler. "I feel like I'm much more free in what I'm doing. I think I'm much more engaged in the process of things. I put myself in position in Phoenix, And not being able to make the putts late on the back nine on Sunday, I had bogey. I think I had a three-putt there. I was in position to win that tournament, and I was very frustrated not to be able to get it done. But really, Phil has done a really good job with me the last 6 months or so, kind of keeping my head in the right frame of mind. We've been working really hard at it, trying not to work too hard at times. It's really nice to see the fruit of all the work that we've put in, and it's exciting to be sitting up here again. Other prizes await. The Masters is just a few weeks away, and Scheffler is playing better than anyone else. And there, of course, is the undisclosed gift awaiting from Scott. Four more hole outs or chip-ins to go. And yet, it's tough to imagine any could be bigger than the one he made this past Sunday. You're listening to the Magazine Rack on Chris. The next article is by Pat Ford, and it's titled March Madness, 40 Things to Watch in the 2024 NCAA Men's Tournament. Here are 40 things you can expect to see in this year's NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Number 1. More points. Teams currently are averaging 73.6 points per game. That's the highest since 2018, when the average was 73.8, and the second most since 1995. Generally speaking, teams are playing faster and shooting more three-pointers, which is made for a more viewer-friendly product. Six of the top seven scoring teams in the nation will be in the tournament: Alabama, Kentucky, Arizona, Samford, Florida, and Gonzaga. Number 2. Fewer charges. One area of officiating emphasis this season has been making it harder for defenders to draw charging calls. Secondary defenders are not being rewarded for sliding in front of the driving players, thus reducing the number of charbage calls. This has been one of the more significant improvements in recent years. Number 3 is rampant parity. Among the six teams in the AP Top 25 heading into championship week, only one won its conference tournament. UConn claimed the Big East. Houston was routed in the Big 12 title game. Purdue lost in the Big 10 semifinals. Tennessee was blown out in the SEC quarters. North Carolina was upset in the Atlantic Coast title game. And Arizona was taken down in the Pac-12 semis. Only three teams have three losses, and those are UConn, James Madison, and McNeese State. Everyone else has more. Number 4 is a chaotic bracket that should be rife with upsets. The field was shaken up this past Saturday when number 10 ACC seed North Carolina State and number 4 Pac-12 seed Oregon won bids, knocking at-large teams out of consideration for the tournament. There was tumult in the American Athletic Conference, with number 11 Temple and number 4 UAB advancing to the final to take away yet another bid. So did the Atlantic 10, which advanced number 6 Duquesne and number 4 VCU to the Sunday final. Seeding has likely never required this many late-breaking alterations. Number 5. International flavor. The tourney will have a sharpshooter from Japan, Keisei Tominaga of Nebraska, a leading man from Canada, Zach Eady of Purdue, a floor general from Lithuania, Augustus Marchilionis of St. Mary's, an abundance of Australians, Tyrese Proctor of Duke, Akor Akor of Samford, Johnny Furphy of Kansas, Rain Smith of Charleston, a low post power from England, Great Osibor of Utah State, a 7-footer from Russia, Vladislav Golden of Florida Atlantic, and big men from Mali, Nefali Dante of Oregon, Madi Sissoko of Michigan State, Fosiene Traor of BYU, and so forth. Number 6. You will not see or hear Jim Nance, who hung up his national championship neckties after last season. Ian Eagle is now the new lead voice of March Madness on CBS. Number 7. There's going to be a lot of Cougars. Houston, BYU, Charleston, and Washington State. And let's not forget Bulldogs, Gonzaga, Samford, Yale, and Drake. Number 8, there won't be an abundance of NBA draft lottery picks. A lot of the projected top picks are foreign or are already playing professionally in the U.S. The most likely lottery-level players are Tennessee's Dalton Knecht, Colorado's Cody Williams, UConn's Stephon Castle and Donovan Klingon, Kentucky's Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham, Duke's Jared McCain and Kyle Filipowski, and Baylor's Jacoby Walter. Number 9, the tourney will have plenty of excitement in store. There is Wisconsin leading scorer Al Storr and a defending champion from Storrs, Connecticut. Number 10, we'll see UAB, the most popular team at NCAA headquarters after the Blazers disposed of extreme underdog Temple to win the American Athletic Conference. That alleviated one problematic headline for the association. 11. We're going to see and hear a lot of huffing and puffing about the officiating of Purdue Big Man and National Player of the Year Edey. At 7'4 and 300 pounds, he's literally the biggest thing in the big dance, and his game is all about contact and collisions in the paint. Edey leads the nation in fouls drawn per 40 minutes at 9.7 and has shot 370 free throws, nearly 100 more than anyone else in the tourney field. Opponents think he gets away with everything. Purdue thinks he gets fouled way more than it's actually called. 12. Coaches of highly seeded teams with something to prove after underachieving in recent NCAA tourneys. Matt Painter of Purdue has never made a Final Four and has upset losses to Fairleigh Dickinson, St. Peter's, North Texas, and Little Rock. Rick Barnes of Tennessee hasn't been to a Final Four since 2003. John Calipari of Kentucky hasn't been there since 2015, despite routinely having the most talent. Brad Underwood of Illinois has never made it past the first weekend, and Shaka Smart of Marquette has nothing but early exits since taking VCU to a Cinderella Final Four in 2011. Number 13, coaches who know the way, having won national titles in the last decade. Those are Bill Self of Kansas, Scott Drew of Baylor, and Dan Hurley of UConn. 14. Coaches who have been to at least one Final Four in the last decade but didn't win at all in those appearances. Brian Dutcher, San Diego State, Dusty May, Florida Atlantic, Hubert Davis of North Carolina, Kelvin Sampson of Houston, Mark Few, Gonzaga, Bruce Pearl, Auburn, Tom Izzo, Michigan State, Dana Altman, Oregon, and Calipari, Kentucky. Number 15. A coach who was essentially fired last week before the team's conference tournament, his departure effective at the end of a season that refuses to actually end. That would be Dan Monson of Long Beach State. In the number 16 position, we'll see two long shots. Longwood, which was seeded 5th in the Big South tourney, and Long Beach State, seeded 4th in the Big West. 17. Conference with the most to prove, the Mountain West. After getting 6 NCAA bids, more than several high major conferences, a league that has seen only San Diego State have tourney success in recent years needs other teams to advance this time around. 18. We'll see two Dukes, James Madison and Duquesne, and one Duke, Blue Devils. Unfortunately, however, Bradley point guard Duke Dean didn't make the field. Number 19. We're going to see many trips to the video monitor. In addition to the late game reviews of possession and the game clock, there is more scrutiny of blows to the head than ever before. While generally a good thing in terms of player safety, this inevitably has led to abuse in search of a competitive advantage. Players are exaggerating contact above the shoulders, flopping is on the rise, and athletes who appear to be seriously injured one minute are perfectly fine the next. Just be ready for delays brought about by replay reviews. 20. We'll see some first-time dancers. Stetson, champion of the Atlantic Sun, and Grambling, champion of the SWAC. Welcome, guys. Stay as long as you can. At number 21, teams that are streaking in. James Madison has won 13 straight games, Charleston 12, McNeese State 11, and Vermont 10. The longest active winning streak among high major teams is, no surprise, UConn's 7. Number 22 is teams that are staggering in. Tennessee is on a 2-game losing streak and led in those 2 games for just 3 minutes and 11 seconds out of 80. Kansas has lost 2 in a row and 4 out of 5, but they should get back 2 key players who were out with injuries in Kevin McCullough Jr. and Hunter Dickinson. Dayton has lost 3 of its last 6, and Clemson has lost 2 straight and 3 of its last 4. Alabama has lost 4 of its last 6. At 23, star players getting their first dance chance after upgrading from lesser teams and leagues. Among them, Necht, who went from Northern Colorado to Tennessee, Riley Minix from Division II Southeastern Florida to Morehead State, and Cam Spencer from Loyola, Maryland and Rutgers to UConn. Number 24. There are fewer instant impact freshmen in the get old, stay old current climate of college basketball, but they do still exist. So here are 5 to keep an eye on. Shepherd and Dillingham in Kentucky, Castle at UConn, Milan Momchilovich at Iowa State, J.T. Toppin at New Mexico, McCain at Duke, and Walter at Baylor. Number 25. On the AARP end of the spectrum, there is BYU forward Spencer Johnson, who is 26 and a half years old. At number 26, the roundest player in the tournament is NC State center DJ Burns Jr., who was 6'9 and charitably listed at 275 pounds. That's about as accurate as Donald Trump saying he's 215 pounds. Burns doesn't have the stamina to play 30-plus minutes, but he's productive when he's on the floor. He averaged 15.2 points in the Wolfpack's 5 wins and 5 days rampage through the ACC tourney. Number 27. The 5 most efficient offenses in the Big Dance belong to UConn, Alabama, Purdue, Illinois, and Kentucky. In the number 28 spot, the 5 most airtight defenses belong to Iowa State, Houston, Tennessee, Auburn, and North Carolina. 29. The most accurate teams from the 3-point range are Kentucky, Purdue, Dayton, Northwestern, and Colorado. And the most avid 3-point shooters, in terms of a percentage of their total shots, are BYU, Creighton, Charleston, Alabama, and Dayton. Number 30. There are 2 Drews, Baylor coach Scott and Grand Canyon coach Bryce, 2 DeVrieses, Drake coach Darian and star player Tucker, his son, but in the end only 1 Patino. Richard's New Mexico Lobos are in, Rick's St. John's Red Storm just missed it. 31. There are deft dime droppers. The top assist men are Marquette's Tyler Kolek, provided he returns from an oblique injury that kept him out of the Big East tournament, Colorado State's Isaiah Stevens, Houston's Jamal Sheed, and Baylor's Ray J. Dennis. Also, a pair of guys with the same name, but spelled differently. Purdue's Braden Smith, that's B-R-A-D-E-N, and Colgate's Braden Smith, B-R-A-E-D-E-N. 32. There are supreme shot blockers. Among them, UConn's Klingon, Houston's Javier Francis, Duquesne's David Dixon, Auburn's Johnny Broome, and Samford's Akor. 33. There are glass eaters like Akron's Enrique Freeman, who produced 24 points, 21 rebounds, and 7 blocks in the MAC semifinals, NC State's Muhammad Diarra, Yale's Danny Wolf, UAB's Yaxel Lendeborg, and Arizona's Omar Ballo. 34. There are shooting stars. Kentucky's Shepherd and Antonio Reeves. Dayton's Kobe Bray. Texas Tech's Kerwin Walton. Colorado's K.J. Simpson. And, of course, UConn's Spencer. Number 35. Look for ball thieves like McNeese State's Shahada Wells, Iowa State's Taman Lipsey, Montana State's Robert Ford III, Kentucky's Shepherd, and TCU's Jameer Nelson. 36. There are alley brawlers who never shy away from physical play. Purdue's Mason Gillis, Texas's Brock Cunningham, North Carolina's Armando Bacot, Houston's Juwan Roberts, and Tennessee's Toby Awaka. And at number 37, we have a flock of birds. There are eagles, that's Marquette and Morehead State, owls, Florida Atlantic, gamecocks, that's South Carolina, blue jays, Creighton, peacocks, St. Peter's, and a fictional bird, the Kansas Jayhawks. But we don't have Larry Bird's alma mater. India State was a bubble casualty when everything broke wrong for the Sycamores during the week since they lost to Drake in the Missouri Valley Final. Number 38. Unfortunately, we will not see Brown. The Bears came within a buzzer-beating shot by Yale in the Ivy League title game of being the most improbable Cinderella in the field. They were 6-17 on February the 16th, then peeled off six straight wins to make the four-team Ivy tourney. Once there, they stunned regular season champion Princeton to make the final and had Yale all but beaten before letting it get away in a flurry of missed free throws and big shots by the Bulldogs. So, as it stands, Brown is still looking for its first NCAA bid since 1986. And number 39, we'll hear a lot about the likelihood of expanding the tournament. There's really no need, but it's coming. Some of the power brokers from the power conferences are pushing for it, and the extremely difficult final decisions the selection committee had to make this year will be used as a vehicle to advance that agenda. Hey, don't fall for it. We don't need 72 or 76 teams. We have 68, and that's enough. And finally, number 40, drumroll. When all is said and done on April 8th, we'll see UConn cutting down the nets once again, becoming the first repeat champion since Florida in 2006 and 2007. You're tuned in to the Magazine Rack on Chris. And finally, we have this piece by Stephanie Apstein titled, Shohei Ohtani Strives to Be the Absolute Best, Even at Getting Some Shut-Eye. When Chris Winter, a neurologist and sleep expert, strolled into the L.A. Dodgers clubhouse at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona this week to help them prepare for their season-opening trip to Seoul in Korea, he met with a receptive audience. Los Angeles had begun planning for the series long before MLB made the announcement 8 months ago, and had already taken steps such as asking the team hotel to adjust the lighting in the lobby to reflect the time of day the club is trying to mimic. So the front office and coaching staff had bought into taking steps to mitigate the 16-hour time difference. But Winter has worked with some 20 MLB teams over the years, plus a dozen other teams in other sports, and what he has come to learn is that he can only say so much. Eventually, what matters is who is listening. As soon as you have the leader of the team carrying their mattress around the country or whatever, he says, emphasizing that he is speaking generally and not about any particular player, it changes everything. Well, that's good news for Winter because the Dodgers' best player does exactly that. Two-way star, new Dodger, and $700 million man Shohei Ohtani has long focused on maintaining good sleep habits. In 2022, he told Japanese news agency Kyoto News, and I quote, "Sleep is my top priority," unquote. He tries to get 10 hours at night, plus a two-hour nap before a game. "Everything he does is for a purpose," says his new manager, Dave Roberts. "There's no wasted time on anything." During his 5 years starring for the Nippon Ham Fighters in his native Japan, Ohtani learned about the Nishikawa mattress brand. In 2017, the year before he joined the LA Angels, he agreed to a sponsorship deal with the company. He quickly became its most famous spokesperson, participating in multiple ad campaigns about how seriously he takes his sleep. He currently uses a $3,000 Air SX model, the company's highest-end product, for which he was measured with a 3D body scan. As of last year, Nishikawa had gathered more than 1.2 million data points on Ohtani. Japanese mattresses are much thinner than their American counterparts, between 3 and 4 inches thick, and this one, the medium firm model, comes in black and red, like Angels colors, says Maho Shibata, a spokesperson for Nishikawa. Ohtani, 29, was also fitted for a custom pillow, which because of his broad shoulders is twice as firm as the average person's. Ohtani, whom the Dodgers did not make available for an interview for this story, has said he rarely wakes up with a stiff neck. "It's something we probably all should do," says Angels pitcher Kenny Rosenberg. Then, sensing an opportunity for his own sponsorship deal, he grins and adds, "I have a purple pillow at home." Shameless plug. They're awesome pillows. But many athletes have optimized their sleep at home. Where Ohtani stands apart is in his effort on the road. Winter recommends that athletes try to create an illusion that you're always home and you're always in a comfortable sleep movement, as he puts it, sometimes going so far as to bring their partner's pillowcase to a hotel to retain their scent. It's hard to do much about the mattress, though, unless, of course, you are Ohtani. Nishikawa also makes a portable mattress, and Ohtani brings it with him on road trips. Well, perhaps it might be more accurate to say his team's traveling secretary brings it on road trips. The whole thing folds down to about the size of a briefcase and then opens to become nearly as formidable as Ohtani's regular mattress. At home, he uses the mattress right on a bed frame. On the road, he uses it as a mattress topper on hotel beds. Because staffers are in charge of it, teammates don't see Ohtani carrying it around, but word did eventually spread among the Angels. "I found out and I laughed a lot," says reliever Carlos Estevez. "I was like, I didn't know you could do that." Well, the Dodgers still have a lot to learn. "I don't know anything about Ohtani except he's good at baseball," says second baseman Mookie Betts. All teams incorporate some level of sleep science into their programs, but Ohtani is unusual even among his peers. He is also unusual among his countrymen. A 2021 survey conducted by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development found that Japanese people average 7 hours and 22 minutes of sleep per day, the least among citizens of any of the 33 countries it measured. But that might be changing. The Sankei Shimbun, one of the top newspapers in Japan, reported last year that, and I quote, "the Ohtani effect is immeasurable," end quote, causing legions of Japanese youth athletes to ask to go to bed early. In a video Ohtani recorded for Nishikawa last year, he says he doesn't have a complicated bedtime routine. "I just fall asleep when I get sleepy," he says, and does not use an alarm to wake up. He tries to wear a weighted sleep mask when he travels, such as on the 14-hour flight to South Korea and the 12-hour flight back. Oh, left off the travel roster for the series was Dekopin, Ohtani's dog. But don't feel too bad for him. Ohtani mentioned to Nishikawa officials how much his pup loves their shared mattress, so this winter, Nishikawa sent a gift to its favorite sleep-conscious dog lover, a custom dog bed. And that'll do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack on Chris. I've been reading from the March 2024 issue of Sports Illustrated magazine and from the Sports Illustrated website, si.com. I'm Mario Cajar. So long till next time.